John chapter 20. I invite you to turn there with me this Friday, Good Friday evening. We're going to dive in just a moment to verses 11 through 18. My Easter message I've entitled A Wonderful Woman of Faith. We're going to look at the faith of a lady named Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. You may have heard that name before, but Mary Magdalene, one lady among this large group of female disciples. I don't know if you realize this or not, but Jesus had a large group of female disciples who also traveled along with he and the 12 disciples that ministered to the needs of the group, that provided financially for that group. In fact, most of the finances that were needed in order to take care of Jesus and the disciples came from the women. And what an incredible example of faith we have from Mary Magdalene. And so before we dive into that, hey man, it's Easter. Amen. Man, it's Easter weekend. What a joy it is. This is our time to celebrate. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. We remember the resurrection every time we gather, but obviously, especially on Easter weekend. And reminds me of the story of an elderly pastor who it was time to preach, and he was getting ready to leave the house and got to looking for a tie, and he couldn't find it. And searched and searched and searched in his closet and thought to himself, well, maybe my wife's got it in the back of her closet in a box somewhere or something. So he got to fishing through the back of his wife's closet and found this little box that had three eggs in it and 100 $1 bills. And he went to his wife and he said, honey, what's this box all about? I've never seen this before. She said, well, honey, I've actually had that box for years. Those eggs, every time you would lay an egg, you would preach a bad sermon, I would put an egg in that box. And she thought to herself, after all the years he had done this, or he thought to himself, he thought, well, if there's only three eggs in there, that's pretty good. Well, honey, it's just three eggs there. What's the $101 bills for? And she said, well, every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them for a dollar to our neighbors. So, needless to say, Pastor Derek's not going to lay an egg tonight. It's Easter weekend. You know what I'm saying? I don't plan to lay an egg. We're going to dive right into God's Word. And the few moments we have together tonight, we're going to look at the implications of the resurrection, and specifically in the life of Mary Magdalene. And the resurrection, Easter, is everything. Jesus rose from the dead. We don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. We don't have to fear all of the lawlessness and violence and stuff in our world today. We don't have to be afraid of those who are trying to come against the gospel. Listen, the gospel's not the problem in America. It's the solution. Can I get an amen on that? Listen, Jesus Christ is not the problem in this country. And would to God that children of God with boldness and grace and compassion also, but with boldness, would declare Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. You're not going to find any peace or joy following all that broken junk that our world is declaring today. All the immorality and all of the worldliness and the humanism and atheism and evolutionary worldview and all this stuff that we promote and we teach and proclaim in our society is leading to all the violence and lawlessness and brokenness and junk that we see in our world today, isn't it? Jesus is the answer. And so it reminds me of a Muslim man who came to faith. He had grown up a Muslim in Africa and he came to faith. And some of his friends came up to him and said, why in the world did you become a Christian? And he said, well, guys, I'll tell it to you like this. One day there was this guy walking down a road and he came to a fork in that road and he didn't know which way to go. And there were two men there, one dead, one alive. Which one would you ask for directions? Well, friends, Jesus is alive. The cemetery of religion, if you will, is full of dead prophets. There is only one tomb that's empty. It's the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. And he is seated at the right hand of God right now, interceding for the people of God. He's given us, for those of us who know him, he's given us his spirit. His kingdom is here now in us. It's here now. And he is coming again one day to consummate that kingdom, to bring justice and righteousness and peace and joy. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more women walking into a school and shooting a bunch of kids. There'll be no more political division like we've seen this past week in our own state capital. There won't be any more of that when Jesus comes again. And ultimately, he's the only answer for all that stuff. Christ. In him alone. And Mary Magdalene knew this very well. Mary Magdalene was possessed of seven demons at one point in her life. And Jesus cast all those demons out of her. And needless to say, when God's done a whole bunch of stuff in your life, you want to do a whole bunch of stuff for God, right? I mean, he who has been forgiven much, or in her case, she who had been forgiven much, wanted to give much, now wanted to serve, wanted to give of her money and her time and her attention and her devotion back to the ministry of the gospel. It's powerful to me, not only Mary Magdalene, but it's significant that the first witnesses of the resurrection were multiple women. If you know anything about Jewish culture in their day and time, the testimony of women was not held in very high regard at all. In fact, it was said, there was this running statement among the rabbis, that it's better that the words of the law be burned than to be delivered to a woman. By the way, if there's anyone who liberated women more than anybody in the history of mankind, it was Jesus. Come on, ladies, can I get an amen on that? It was Christ. All this brokenness coming against women in our society today. We talk about how we want to be inclusive and we want to promote women's rights when we're actually destroying women and destroying biblical womanhood in this culture, womanhood in this culture. Jesus liberated women and liberates us all when we come to him and repent of our sin and trust in him. And so these women, incredible servants. Mary was a giver. She was a servant. We learn this in Luke chapter 8, a part of this group. And here in on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, we see that she was the first person that Jesus actually revealed himself to. Let's read those scriptures together now. John chapter 20, starting in verse number 11. It says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him.'" Does it feel like Jesus is missing in our society? Come on, somebody. Do you ever look around and think, where in the world is God at? Glad you asked. Look what it says here. "Having said this, she turned around." There's Jesus. Hey, by the way, Jesus is right behind you, church. Come on now. He's with us. The times where we don't see him in front of us, we think, where is God? Why is he allowing all this evil? Listen, for some good purpose we know not of, I have no reason why, or no explanation as to why he doesn't step in immediately in some of these situations. But I'm grateful that through the cross and resurrection, he stepped in for all of eternity, for our eternal life. And so he's right there. She turns around. There's Jesus. But she didn't know that it was him. She didn't recognize him at first. And Jesus said to her, same statement the angels said, "Woman," same question, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." When she heard her name spoken by the tender, gracious voice, kind voice of our Savior, immediately she knew who it was. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers. You go be the mouthpiece. You be the one to announce that I am risen from the dead. You go tell all the men. You go tell all the disciples. Enlighten them. Bring them in on this thing. And so, go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Father God, in the few moments we have, speak to our hearts. Pour out your Holy Spirit in a special way this Good Friday. Jesus, you died for our sins, and on Easter Sunday you rose from the dead, and our only hope for eternal life, forgiveness, salvation, deliverance, peace, and joy in this life is through you. And I pray right now, if there's any man, woman, boy, or girl here this evening or watching online that doesn't know you, I pray you would draw him or her to yourself. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mary Magdalene, incredible faith we see in this passage. Before we talk about some of the characteristics we see of her faith, first of all, notice Mary's confusion. Notice Mary's confusion. When the angels show up, she comes, she looks in the tomb, they ask her, "Why are you weeping?" She says, "I can't find Jesus, where is God at? There are times in our life when we look around and we think, where is God at? Do you ever have those seasons where you doubt, where you struggle, where you're confused, where you don't know where God is? Well, so did Mary Magdalene. And the whole point of Easter and of the resurrection of Christ is that you can't kill Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? You can't remove him. I mean, our culture may try to remove Jesus, may try to eradicate Jesus, may try to get rid of the Bible and the teachings of God's Word and that call to a different life in Christ. But you cannot, listen, the resurrection, Easter tells us you can't keep a good man down. Can't keep him down. Jesus will not die again. He died once for all. He is alive right now at the right hand of God. And although she was confused, Jesus was right there with her. And by the way, whenever you struggle, listen, whenever you doubt, just turn around and look for the Lord, right? Don't continue to look at your circumstances or the struggles or the trials you're walking through. Don't soak in your doubt or your confusion, but look to the Word of God and look for the Son of God. I promise you, He's right there. And He will reveal Himself. And so we see her confusion here, but we also see Jesus' compassion, don't we? Jesus, right in the midst of her struggle, right in the midst of her trial, her misunderstanding, He steps right in and reveals Himself first to her. And when He speaks those words, and He speaks those soft, tender words, calling her by her name, she immediately knew who it was. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said like this. He said, my sheep know me and they know my what? My voice. My voice. That is that personal, intimate relationship with the Lord, isn't it? That's how you know, by the way, here this evening that you're saved, that you're a child of God, that you're born again. How do you know for sure? Well, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. The voice of God. You have this sense of God in your life, not sinless perfection, but a new direction of life. And you hear His voice and you sense His conviction, His correction, His encouragement, His comfort, His peace. He speaks. And so He's a compassionate God. Listen to me, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter the sins of your past or even the brokenness of your present life, Jesus loves you. That's what the gospel is all about. God loves us so much that He would send His one and only Son, the eternal Son of God, the only begotten, the Lord Jesus, to come and take our punishment. Take our place. That's what the cross is all about. The life now is not about my performance. It's not about how good I am. Can I be good enough? Can I be religious enough? Can I try hard enough? No, listen. The gospel means Jesus is enough. Enough. His blood shed on the cross is enough for our forgiveness. It's not my job anymore to try to please God out of my own effort. It's our responsibility now, just simply out of gratitude and a heart of worship, to surrender to Him and trust Him in a loving personal relationship. Oh, Mary's confusion was met by Jesus' compassion. Tonight, no matter what you're walking through, Jesus wants to meet you here with love, not with condemnation or judgment, but with His love and His grace, and draw you into His presence, into a deeper walk with Him, into a growing, intimate relationship with the Son of God. That's what Jesus desires to do. And so Mary Magdalene, incredible woman of faith. Notice here, there are three things, three characteristics I want us to notice of Mary's faith in this passage. First of all, Mary went to the right place, didn't she? She went to the right place. Mary didn't fully understand what had happened. But see, she simply knew Jesus is in the tomb, right? And I want to go back to where, here it is, where Jesus is. See, the Gospels tell us that Mary Magdalene, along with multiple other women, were at the foot of the cross as Jesus was dying. The disciples had all left there except for John. John actually was there because Jesus spoke to him and said, behold your mother, right? To take care of my mom, you know, with me dying and then I'm going to ascend, you know, rise from the dead and ascend to heaven. But all the rest of the disciples ran. And here we have these ladies who are willing to take on the shame of the cross, the ridicule of the cross, the possible persecution of the soldiers and others. And here she was. She saw him die there. She saw Joseph of Arimathea take his body and begin to prepare it rapidly for burial. And then eventually take it off to the tomb. And here she comes, by the way, Mary Magdalene comes to, with spices and oils and perfumes, to fully anoint the body of Jesus, which Jewish custom called for in burial. Proper burial was a big deal to the Jewish people. Where they were placed, who they were buried with, how the burial was carried out, all this stuff. It was important that the body was properly prepared for that burial. So Mary goes back. What she's doing here is going back out of gratitude and worship to go and to finish the job. She goes back to anoint his body and to remember those precious words that he had shared, the powerful miracles that he had performed, to remember the difference that he had made in her life, the strongholds that had been broken, the demons that had been cast out. She went back to the right place. Church, listen to me. Tonight, you're in the right place. Are you listening? You're in the right place. Now is the time to be with the people of God, in the house of God, worshiping the Son of God, looking for the second coming of God. That's what we should be doing. Hey, every Sunday, we should be gathered together. Good Friday, together here. You're in the right place. Now is not the time to be at the ball field on Sunday morning. Have you noticed that our country's going to hell in a handbasket? Who gives a rip about hitting a baseball or hitting a softball on Sunday morning? Hello, y'all with me tonight? Now's not the time to be on the lake fishing or in the woods hunting or on the golf course playing golf. Listen, or shopping on Sunday morning. Now is not the time to be skipping church. And by the way, coming to church don't make you right with God. Let's be real clear. Coming to this place, just attending a service, doesn't make you right with God. Again, it's not about our performance. It's about what Jesus did for us. That's salvation, right? But hello, when you're right with God, you want to come to church. Can I get an amen from somebody up in here today? When you're right with God, you want to be with the people of God. And by the way, church is, again, not the service. It's not the performances or productions or programs. That's not what this is about. We put all this effort into this because Jesus is worth it, man, and we want to lift him up with our best. But it's not about a performance, a production, or a program. It's about worshiping Jesus. It's about the Son of God who died for us. It's about the Word of God. And it's about the people of God through whom we get encouragement and accountability. That's what church is all about. But sadly, some people don't see that church is very important. It reminds me of a story of three preachers that were talking to one another one time, and all three of them had rat infestations in their church. And so they were talking together. Well, how did y'all get rid of them? What'd you do? And the first one said, man, I got so mad, I grabbed my shotgun and started blowing holes through the whole building. Didn't kill a one of them. Right? The second one said, man, I trapped a bunch of those suckers, drove about 3 miles down the road, let them out, and I'll be dead gum. They beat me back to the church. Right? Well, the third preacher spoke up. He said, I ain't got no problem with them no more. They said, well, what in the world did you do? He said, well, I baptized them all. They ain't been back since. It's amazing to me how people have professed the name of Jesus, get baptized, and you never see them again. What happened? There was some kind of disconnect in that kind of faith. Now is not the time to be everywhere else in the world other than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't feed me that line of baloney that you love God and you don't want to go to church. Can we just get real on Easter weekend? Mary was in the right place. She didn't understand what had happened. She just knew Jesus' body's in that tomb. I got to go see Jesus. She went to that place looking for a dead Savior, and she found a risen Lord. Come on, somebody. And the same is true for you. You may come in not fully understanding what God wants to do in your life or what's going on in and around you. But I promise you, when you come up in this place, you're going to find a risen Lord up in here. Come on now. A Jesus who is alive, who wants to rise in your life and change your life. And hear me today. Again, I'm not trying to be judgmental or condemning to you. I'm not trying to be hard. I just want to encourage us. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Look at these verses together. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and to good deeds. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see what? The day, the return of Christ is the idea there. Coming near, drawing near. Are we closer to the return of Jesus than we ever have been? Come on, somebody. Yes, violence, lawlessness. Go read Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, which was a part of, by the way, Passion Week. It was Tuesday-ish. most historians say. So this past Tuesday, all of that discourse, Jesus and the disciples, they're like, hey, what's the end times going to look like? He says, sit down, boys, let me tell you. And if you want to read the news, read Matthew 24 and 25. Go read it. Jesus is coming again. Quit fooling around. It's not time to fool around anymore. It's time to get serious about God and the gospel and His church. It's time to give more than we ever have and serve more than we ever have and be invested and involved in the church, worshiping Him more than we ever have before. Hey, Mary was at the right place. Secondly, let's keep moving. If you're with me, say amen. Come on, church. All right, number two, Mary also had the right perspective. What powerful faith. I want you to think about this. Peter denied Jesus to some little servant girls. Off he went. All the other disciples, except for John, but even John, at certain points, it says that he fled too. All the disciples fled when Jesus is being tried, brought by Pontius Pilate before the crowd, and carrying his cross, you know, down that Via Dolorosa up to Golgotha's hill, and as those crown of thorns are being shoved into his head, as those cat of nine tails is ripping the flesh off his back, where are the disciples? Well, they're nowhere to be found. But Mary Magdalene and some of these other women were there. They were there. It's powerful. For her to go back to the tomb of which she knew there'd be Roman soldiers there. She knew it'd be guarded. She knew they had just beaten and mocked and spit on and crucified her Lord. What would they do to her? What could they possibly do to her for showing up at this tomb? I mean, what a testimony of faith. She laid aside her fear and came. What fearless faith. What courage it took for Mary Magdalene to come, along with a few other godly women, to come to this tomb, which was being guarded by these soldiers. They could just as easily have arrested or even beaten these women just like they did Jesus. But they came anyway. Church, now is not the time to cower back in fear. Now is not the time to be afraid to speak of the gospel in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, and with your family members and friends. Now is not the time to give in to this broken culture. Now is not the time just to sit idly by and watch the devil keep taking ground. Well, what do we do then, preacher? Well, you just kindly and graciously, but yet boldly, when the opportunities are presented, and they are, by the way, every day, if we get honest about it, speak of Jesus. Speak of gospel morality. Speak of God, of what the Bible says about gender identity. Speak of what the Bible says about sexuality. Speak of what the Bible says about creation and our original design, and we're not here by accident, but we're here for God's purpose and His plan. Speak of those things. Speak of the fact that Jesus is the only way. It's the only way to heaven, the only way we're made right with God, that we are great sinners, but there's a great Savior, and no matter how busted up your life, the answer is not be something or someone else. The answer is come to Jesus. The gospel, I want to reiterate that, it's so important. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not the problem in this culture. It's the solution. The only sufficient solution. Yes, we need societal reform. Yes, we need social justice. Yes, we need to get along. Yes, we need those things. But only Jesus can bring those things forever. Only Jesus can do that in the heart, and that's where real change happens. Right? Oh, she had the right perspective, man. She wasn't afraid, right? Or at least she didn't allow her fear to control her thoughts, words, and actions. Reminds me of a statement from General Patton back in World War II. General George Patton was once approached by another military governor when he was in Italy. And when he praised Patton, he said, for his courage, he said, you are such a courageous and brave man. And General Patton replied, he said, sir, I am not a brave man. The truth is, I am an utter craven coward. I have never been within the sound of gunshot or in sight of battle in my whole life that I wasn't so scared that I had sweat in the palms of my hands. He went on to say it like this. He said, but I learned very early in my life, listen up, church, never to take counsel of my fear. Don't take counsel of your negative feelings. We all have them. It's real. It's a battle. Fear, anxiety, worry, struggle, doubt in this culture is real. Depression is real for some folks. It's real. But don't take counsel of your fear. Take it to Jesus. Come to His Word. Come to other Christians who can help you, who can help you get in counseling and get in a small group and get loved on. And just don't take counsel of your fear. Don't stay isolated from others. But come to Jesus. Fear, it's been said, is forgetting that everything is all right. How many of you testify tonight, hey, everything is all right because of Jesus? Come on, church, testify. Everything's all right. It's going to be all right. It may get a whole lot harder before Jesus comes again. By the way, don't mean to bust your bubble this evening, but He says in His Word that it will. Doesn't mean that the promises concerning revival are not true. When God's people pray and we share the gospel and we worship Jesus and lift up His name, folks get saved, don't they? Lives are changed. So the promises for revival are still true. Sometimes when you have the most incredible obstacles in front of you, it also presents some of the most wonderful opportunities to share Jesus with others. So step into it. But friends, it's difficult. It's difficult. Listen, don't ever forget that everything is all right in Jesus. It's going to be okay. In the book of 2 Timothy, listen to this. Chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Look at this. God has not given us, right? Gave us a spirit not of what? What's that next word? Let's say it again. For God gave us a spirit not of what?
Fear.
But of what? Power and love and
self-control.
Self-control. Spirit of God. When you know Jesus, the Spirit of God gives you courage, power, love, self-control when we depend upon Him. Listen, Mary had the right perspective, and would to God that we wouldn't take counsel of our fear in these days or our negative, those negative emotions in us. Take it to Jesus. But then thirdly and lastly, incredible woman of faith, Mary also made, lastly we see here, the right profession. Mary made the right profession, didn't she? Jesus looked at Mary and He said, hey, don't cling to me. I love that statement. It reminds me of my two little guys, my 8-year-old and my 5-year-old. Whenever I come home from work, come on, dads, you know what I'm going to say. You come home from work, you come in that door, they hear that door shut, and all of a sudden, you know, you hear it, Daddy! Right? And they come running around that corner and about tackle you. You know, you can't even get through the door without getting tackled. Isn't that awesome, by the way? Isn't it great? I mean, it just puts so much joy in your soul. And that's the sense you get here with Mary Magdalene. He's like, you know, Jesus is like getting tackled by Mary, you know. He's like, hey, don't cling to me yet. You know, something about this resurrected body. I don't know why she couldn't cling to Him, but there's something there, right? And so He's like, don't cling to me. I'm ascending. So what does He tell her to do? He says, so go to all those knot-headed disciples of mine. By the way, let's not pick on them. We're all knotheads too, aren't we? We all deny Jesus at times out in the workplace and in the world too. We all run when it gets hard at times too. So I don't mean to pick on them so hard because I'm in their shoes a whole lot of times. But He tells her, He says, hey, you go back to those disciples and you tell them, I am risen from the dead. And I'm ascending to my Father. My God and your God, their God. Listen, I'm alive. And so what does she do? It says she goes and she announces to them. Church, listen, all the time we should remind one another that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Sometimes, church people, we can be the most negative and the most critical with each other, can't we? Well, what do you think about what happened down there at the White House the other day? Did you hear? I was watching Fox News. Here we go. This will be great. I was watching CNN here we go. Well, let me tell you what we need in the White House. Let me tell you what we need in that Houses of Congress. I'll tell you what we need. Jesus. That's what we need. We don't need a Republican president. We don't need a Democratic president. We don't need more political folks. Our hope is not in a political party or candidate. Listen, we're not for the donkey or for the elephant. We're for the lamb. Come on, somebody. The lamb. That's what we're for. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus. That's not the answer. All that other stuff is not the answer. Ultimately, the answer is Jesus Christ. We need to declare to the world, listen, we are great sinners. There ain't a person around us right now, if you ask them, man, is our world broken? What do you think? What are they going to say? No matter what their political preference or their ideology or their religious background, they're going to absolutely agree with you unless they are absolutely oblivious to what's going on in our world. Is it broken in our world right now? Yeah, it's broken. Well, why do you think it's so broken? You want to know how to start a conversation? There you go. Why do you think it's so broken? Well, you know, it's because of this or because of that, and all the political stuff start coming out, right? And then we step into it and say, hey, can I tell you why I think it's broken? It's because we're trying to remove Jesus. Jesus is the answer. I really believe that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that there is a wonderful, awesome, holy, righteous, all-powerful, good and benevolent God who made us all. And He gave us His standard for living, and we're running away from that. And that's why we see all the brokenness and the evil and stuff in our world. God's not doing that. We're running away from what He told us to do. But that's what makes the gospel good news, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, so wonderful, because God didn't leave us in a hopeless, broken state. He sent His own Son, Jesus, to come and die for our sins. The only way we can be made right with God is through a perfect blood sacrifice. God said that. Jesus is the only one that fits that bill. Sinless Son of God, and He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Just like Easter weekend, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, listen to me, Jesus was crucified and He rose from the dead. So too it takes crucifixion and resurrection if you want to be saved. Die to yourself and receive the life of God, the Holy Spirit. That's it. Salvation. So here's my challenge to you this Easter. Roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Now, what do I mean by that? There's a whole lot of people that are great with a dead Jesus. Obviously, in our society, there's a whole lot of people that want a dead Jesus, that are tired of hearing about God and what's wrong with my life and what the Bible has to say about my life. Right? But sadly, there's a whole lot of people that come into the doors of our churches that are great with a crucified Jesus, but not a resurrected one. Jesus crucified means my sins are forgiven, right? His blood was shed. I mean, it means my sins are forgiven. But a resurrected Jesus means now my life has to change. His resurrection life transforms our life. Crucified Jesus, man, all that offensive stuff can stay in the tomb. All that difficult stuff that society doesn't want to hear or address in their own life, that can all stay hidden. All my secret sins, all that stuff I don't want nobody to know about, a crucified Jesus, see, that can stay in there with Him. But friends, a resurrected Jesus changes your life. So here's my invite to you. There are some of you here this evening, some of you watching online, you've never rolled the stone away. You've never said, okay, Jesus, I believe You died for me, But I believe you're alive and you want to change my life, and I'm going to submit to you as king of my heart. Roll the stone away. Salvation takes crucifixion and resurrection. So won't you roll the stone away from your heart and let Jesus in? Let him out, let him in, however you want to say that. Let him have his way in your life this Easter.